Alright, praise the Lord on this October 27th, Lord's Day morning. And we finished last Sunday, Proverbs, we're in Proverbs chapter 8. We hit upon verse 11, talking about rubies and commenting on the value of rubies. And we'll start in verse number 12. I brought a report from the website, and I was amazed at how many people visit this little church's website, how many people download the messages, how many countries look into Landmark Baptist Church, and I just rejoice.
Yeah,
I praise God that that the Word of God is getting out. That's one thing we want to do. We don't have a lot of time. I know Paul said the time is short. He said the day is at hand and how busy we need to be. And most of us, I'm convinced, not only we could do a whole lot more, but this website allows us to do more than what we're doing. And I praise God for that website. Like I said, a young man started that website. Asked me if it was okay. I said, by all means, yes, do it.
Yeah.
And it continues unto this day. We want to be like a lighthouse. We want to hold forth the word of life. Lord blesses it. The world needs it. And we're thankful for it. So Proverbs chapter 8. I'm also surprised how many people have attended to the teaching out of Proverbs. It's been visited very highly. But we'll start verse 12. And it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we certainly, Lord, ask for your help. I pray you'll open our understanding, our eyes, open our hearts today. We might be able to partake of your word. We thank you, Father, you settled it in the heavens. You magnified it above all of your name. You commanded it to 1,000 generations. You said heaven and earth would pass away, but my word, you said, would not pass away. And Lord, we have it today. We're trying to teach it today. We pray, Lord, you'd give us the unction, give us the anointing, which the Bible said the anointing which we've received teaches us all things. We have not need of another to teach it to us. May the Holy Spirit of God help us today. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This one verse, speaking about wisdom, says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. We have an adversary down here. Paul talked about many were taken by the snare of Satan. Many were overthrown. Many mighty have been brought down by some of Satan's witty inventions. Our message today from the Word of God, like I said last Sunday, I preached on Open Thou Mine Eyes, and we're preaching the second part of that. And I wrote all this down at one time, and I couldn't find my notes, so I had to wing it for the message today. And I'm not worried about it. I know God can bless the latter part of that message, but I do wish I had put it where I could have found it, but I couldn't find that where I studied that out on Opening Down My Eyes, and I had to just basically from scratch finish the latter part of this message today. But Satan, he doesn't want us to be able to remember anything of what we need to remember. I don't know if I can find this, but I'm thinking about the parable of the sower. I think it's in Matthew 13. I might be wrong. But let's see. I believe it's in Luke where it talks about the devil steals the word out of their heart. Wait a minute. It's in Matthew 13. It talks about the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked ones. In Matthew chapter number 13, verse 38, And it says in verse 39, the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is in the world, and the reapers are the angels. But it talks about on over here that Satan catches away that which is sown in verse 19 of Matthew 13. And Satan does want to rob us of any knowledge or understanding of the Word of God. He wants to take it, and he will do that.
Right.
And that's what the knowledge of the witty inventions, we need to be. Paul said he wasn't ignorant of Satan's devices. And one of the things that we can do to gain ground when it comes to wisdom is to stay in church. My pastor, he said one time, he said, y'all have all heard me preach this a million times, but he said we need to be reminded. We need to be constantly reminded of who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, why we ain't in heaven yet. And the devil doesn't want you to remember anything. Matter of fact, he wants you to forget. He wants to steal wisdom from you. Verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And I believe it was David that said that he hated evil with perfect hatred.
Yeah.
But, I didn't learn to hate evil until I got saved. I didn't really see nothing wrong with it until I got saved and God opened my eyes, to the fruits of evil. And he said to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. And the wisdom of God causes us to understand why we should hate those things.
Right.
The psalmist said, until I went in the sanctuary of God, then I understood how they're in. We just walk according to the course of this world. We see in part, know in part, but God's wisdom, it opens our eyes. I thank God for that message on Open Down My Eyes, because
yes,
we need to have our eyes open, more so now than ever.
Amen.
And the fear of the Lord is one of the things that will promote wisdom. I don't know how many times that I've got in trouble, and I went to the Word of God to find out what I needed to do. And I found in there not only what verse 14 talks about counsel, but I found good counsel. Matter of fact, he's a mighty counselor. But verse 14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. In Isaiah 46:10, God mentions about counsel. And he talks about that he declared the end from the beginning. And he said, my counsel shall stand. One more, Sister Sharon. One thing about God, not only is he great enough to do what this verse says, he said, let's read verse 9. Remembering the form in Isaiah 46:9, remembering the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God set the order of everything.
Right.
And everything's going to go to the order God set it. I know there are a lot that think that they're going to do contrary of the counsel of God. One of them is Satan. You see here in Isaiah 14 about the devil. One thing about the devil, he's a prince of pride.
Yeah.
And his children are children of pride. But he said in Isaiah 14, it talks about the fall of Satan. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Isaiah 14, verse 12. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that look they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the nations? You know, here the devil thought he would undermine the counsel of God. He thought he would do contrary to what God had commanded. And I believe it's Matthew 25:41 talks about hell was made for the devil and his angels. And it's a fit place for him. But God says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom, and I am understanding. I have strength. Boy, I'm glad. I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for the counsel of God. Last Sunday, I also mentioned Proverbs 22, where God talks about giving us good counsel. In Proverbs 22, verse 20 and 21, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. God wants us to have good counsel, and the good counsel comes from Him. Verse 15, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. You know, you stop and think about kings and princes, and it just seemed like, you know, chance fell upon them. But I do believe God's hand, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of God. I believe God raises kings up and princes and gives them the wisdom to reign and gives them the decree needed for justice. Verse 16, by me princes rule and nobles, given all the judges of the earth. And you know, we need a good godly leadership. You know, I know this is a Sunday school lesson, and I probably should have waited to do this, but we got elections coming up November the 5th, I believe, and we've got a good, godly governor right now, and if we're not careful, we'll lose him. Let me say this about our governor, Matt Bevin. He's a very godly man, a man of prayer. His testimony's rock solid. But he's the most pro-life governor that Kentucky has ever had. And I heard that several times. But let me say this about not being pro-life. The one running against him, Andy Beshear, he's pro-abortion.
Yeah.
And they've recently found out that they sell the baby parts. They sell beaten hearts. The baby has to be kept alive so they can deliver the heart still beating to be able to utilize it. They sell the scalps off of the babies. They sell a lot of things. And what really bothers me, not only do they do this, but they brag about they're going to buy a Lamborghini with the money that they get from selling these baby parts. That bothers me worse than anything. It's bad enough that they murder these innocent babies. And I believe it's I might be wrong here, but I think it's Psalms 127, verse 3. Lo, children are heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I wonder how God feels about all that.
Mm.
And here we are with a chance to vote. And Noah Webster, I believe back in 1843, gives a description of voting as man's duty to God.
Yes.
So your vote does matter. Now, you know how many people's going to vote? You know how many people they're predicting to vote this next election?
Not very many.
Take a guess.
Not very many, probably.
12%. That means 88% people that could vote think it's not worth it, or think, you know, it's not
fair.
Yeah. And you know, Webster said it's man's duty to God to vote. And we need to. We need to not only vote, but we need to pray for our leaders that we might lead peaceable lives. And this thing, from what I've seen, my standpoint, this thing's falling apart.
Yes, it is.
And the Bible said when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. I'll just tell you, we better be careful about who we vote into office this day and time. They done got to where they know they're clever anyway, and they're crafty, but they know how to deceive you. They know how to speak out of both sides of their mouth. A lot of them have been caught, but not all of them have been caught. But I'll tell you what, you need to do your homework and make sure your vote is not only cast for the right one and counted. Hopefully, I hope they're good stewards that they get our votes. But I want to have a conscience void of offense. I couldn't live with myself if I voted for someone that's wicked.
That's right.
So God says, by me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Somebody say something. These liberal activist judges that have been cleverly implanted, you can see how that's able to sway justice. When I say sway justice, let's say like this. A good law is passed, and everybody's been praying for it to get passed. And it gets passed, and a federal activist judge, one, overthrows it. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of this going on, we need to be privy to. We need to be paying attention. And God says that by me, it's talking about wisdom and God both. By me, princes rule and nobles. You know, verse 13 talks about the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. They don't have the fear of God. That's one thing that Romans points out. They have no fear of God before their eyes. And that makes a difference. You know, when someone don't fear God, in Romans chapter 3, verse 18, there's no fear of God for their eyes. When someone don't fear God, well, they don't worry about being accountable to God. But I'll tell you what makes someone make right decisions is when they realize they're going to give an account one day to God. But God says, by Him, princes rule, nobles, even all the judges of the earth. He said, I love them that love me.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh boy. And those that seek me early shall find me. I love them that love me.
Yes.
Oh my. You know, God even loves those that hate Him.
Yes, He does.
I believe it's in Luke. I think it's in Luke. Get in Luke, that'd help a bunch. I think it's in Luke chapter 4, I think. Well, He's kind to them, thankful. I'm looking for that. God is He loves those that hate Him. Mm-hmm. My old Bible had everything all marked up in it, and I could find everything real fast. But He's kind to them, thankful. And even though they don't regard God, even though they don't love Him, He loves them. Mm-hmm. There it is, Luke chapter 6. God says in verse 35, love ye your enemies, do good and lend, holding for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the kingdom of the highest. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. God here, He loves those that love Him, but He loves those that don't love Him too. And those that seek Him early shall find Him. And that's got a twofold meaning, talking about wisdom and God both. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Some of you know that seems to be last on the list.
Yeah.
I didn't get saved when I was 34 years old. And I wished I had sought the Lord early in life. Mm-hmm. Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. You know, God, He talked about the true riches. And if a man gained the whole world and lost his soul, what profit would that be to the man? Riches and honor with him. The right riches, the true riches, durable riches, and righteousness. One thing about God, you can't put a price on the things of God. He just gives them for free.
Yeah.
And verse 19, He says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Now, men, they chase after dollars like a donkey chasing a carrot on a stick. And even if they could get it, even if they had it all, one thing I've observed as a 65-year-old man, I've noticed a lot of people are never satisfied.
Right.
No matter what they get. But I will say this, you're looking at a man that's satisfied. I'm not only saved, praise God, I'm satisfied. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul said, be content with such things as you have. And he said, I found whatever state I'm in therewith to be content.
Yeah.
But God here talks about His fruits better than gold. You can't put a price on peace, and yet that's some of the fruit that God gives us. It's, you can't put a price on it. You can't put a price on health. And God gives us not only peace, gives us health and revenue, everything that we have need of, He supplies out of His riches and glory. And verse 20 says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. When we let God lead, I believe it's Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
He make me lie down in green pasture. He lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. And if we let God lead, we'll be right there.
Yeah.
We'll be by the still waters. He'll restore our soul. He'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You know, when you're at death's door, it's good to have what this is saying. I was one time brought to realize that I might die that day. I was pretty sure I was dying that day. I don't know. I know my wife got up in my face, put a finger in my face, said, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday and you need to be there. And whatever had a hold of me let go. The paramedics is working on me. They let go. The doctor left the room. Everybody. I mean, boy, she, talking about a woman's wrath, she come across that floor, put that finger in my face, and I ended up driving us home. But I was quoting Psalms 23. I was convinced that I was dying,
yes,
whether I was or whether I wasn't. She says I wasn't. I thought I was. I'll tell you this, I was okay with it. If I had died that day,
yeah,
I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I wouldn't fear nothing. If that was God's will, I remember tears dipping off my cheeks. I'm quoting this verse, and I was okay with it. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I was comforted, and I had company. He says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Boy, those are comforting words.
Yeah.
When it comes down, you know, to the day when death comes to your door. And, you know, it's something I wouldn't, you know, it'd be all right with me if the Lord wanted to come get me. I'm okay with it, but maybe not with everyone. But with me, I say, praise God, I'm finally graduating. From life's lessons down here, I've learned the lessons of life. And I laid hold on eternal life 31 years ago.
Yeah.
But God leads in the way of righteousness. Matter of fact, the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. We're on our way home. We're not there like the Israel come out of Egypt and they took their journey. And they were on their way to the promised land. They started out singing. Next thing you know, they was murmuring. Well, next thing you know, they wanted to turn around and go back. But God did get them there, as bellyache and bunch as they were. And I guess we'll just like them. But God leads us in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. His leadership points us like a compass in the right direction. Verse 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. You know, everybody wants to leave something behind. But you know the best thing you can leave behind? Be a testimony. Thank you, Bonnie. That'd be the most precious thing that you can leave behind. You'd be surprised how many children have picked up the torch that a mother or a father or a grandmother or grandfather has laid down, couldn't take it no further. They took up that torch and in their footsteps carried on that light that they had carried to the end of life's journey. Now, one of the worst things we could do is leave behind something that would discourage anyone from following us. An example of that, I heard this, it's kind of sad. My pastor was telling me about a pastor of a church that he had a problem with depression really bad. I really can't understand this myself, but he must have kept his eyes on the wrong thing. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But I guess if he looked upon someone like me, it caused him to be discouraged. Maybe he was looking upon someone else than Jesus. But anyway, he ended up being so discouraged that he took his own life. And his lost son that he left behind said, if God couldn't help my father, he has nothing to offer me. So you see the effect of the aftermath of that. I want to leave behind a testimony to my son, my daughter, my two granddaughters. If my wife is still alive, I want them to know not only that I'm in heaven, but I want them to follow me. Yeah. I don't want to discourage them. I wish they could all be around my bed. I wish they could all hear the last words from my mouth. You know, we're going to leave something behind. Yeah. Bonnie's right. Testimony is the greatest inheritance we can leave. But, you know, I also want to leave the worldly substance too. I want to try to leave them behind something. And it says, and I will fill their treasures. The greatest treasure is the one that God put in this earthen vessel and gave it worth. I've got what's called added value. I wasn't nothing but a dirt bag. And God put His treasure in this dirt bag and gave it worth. Amen.
That's right.
But we do want to leave behind an inheritance. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. Now, this gets prophetic right here.
Yeah.
Before His works of old. Now, the Bible said the world by wisdom founded the earth, founded everything. He made everything by wisdom. God made everything. And it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way for His works of old. The wisdom, it's more personification of a tribute of God. I'm reading the footnotes down here from Scofield Bible. Or the will of God as best for man, but it's a distinct, I can't even say this word, demonstration of Christ is sure to the devout mind. And several references here that can refer to nothing less than the eternal Son of God. But first of all, John chapter 1 verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And, you know, we see all kind of attributation to Christ being with the creation. Matter of fact, the Bible says God made all things. Let's look at that real quick in Colossians. He made all things by Christ. And He's before all things. And the most amazing thing is by Him all things exist. In other words, if He was dead, nothing would exist. Man scratches their pointed head, tried to figure it out, and it's past figuring out. But talking about Christ here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. I work with a guy that's a Jehovah's Witness, And I prayed for him. I prayed for him yesterday, and I prayed for him a lot. But I asked him, I said, "What's God look like?" And he really didn't have an answer. I said, "Well, that's good, because God's a spirit." Jesus said in John 4, and he's the invisible God, mentioned right here in verse 15. And Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him," talking about Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist."
Yeah.
I don't really get worked up too much about this global warming. I don't get worked up too much about the new Green Deal. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. I've given a little bit of thought to this. The cap of this earth, the north and the south, are both frozen solid. At one time, this earth was covered with water. There were no mountains visible. It was just pure water.
Yeah.
So if the top and the bottom are froze, that lets me know where the glaciers, where all of that came from, was from the frozen waters that covered the earth in Noah's day. And as time goes on, they melt a little bit. And they're talking about, "Oh, it's melting away." I tell you, I know how it got there. I understand why it's melting. I understand that the sun goes around the equator, the center of the earth. God set the order of all of that. But I also understand that they're melting a little bit. That's no strange thing. That's been going on since Noah's day.
Right.
The Bible talks about the waters abated, iced it. You know, I can walk on the water, but it's got to be frozen, but I can. And I'm convinced that those ice caps are a product of the flood of Noah's day. Now, they're not going to admit or reason anything like that right there.
No.
But God created everything. He's before all things. And by him, all things consist. And he has the preeminence on everything. Matter of fact, brother, we got much to do with him. In him we live and move and have our being, Acts 17 says. All right. I do want to leave behind something. And I hope I can leave behind good King James Bible. I won't need it no more.
Right.
Hope I can leave behind someone, you know, that I've invested the Word of God in. I talked to my granddaughter yesterday, and in our conversation, I just asked her, I said, "Have you ever been lied to?" She said, "Yeah, Pop." I said, "Boy," I said, "that didn't feel good, did it?" She said, "No." I said, "Ain't it good to know that God cannot lie?" I said, "Ain't that good to know we might have a strong consolation in everything that God says and know that it's truth?" And you know, we had a good conversation on that. But, you know, I want to leave something behind. I want to leave the truth behind. I want to leave a testimony behind. I want to leave the real treasure behind. But, like I said, it takes on a prophetic meaning here, verse 23. "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." The Bible says that God changes not.
Right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the world has no concept of God.
No.
The Bible said the world by wisdom knew not God. And the wisdom of this world's foolishness with God, he winks at it, commands men everywhere to repent. But here he tells about it. He said, "I was there from the beginning or ever the earth was." Somebody said, "How did it start?" Well, he commanded,
right,
and it stood fast. Let me see if I can find that in the book of Psalms. Well, I'm really behind this morning. I lost my notes, and I have to admit it put me at a terrible disadvantage. But let me see if I can find this reference here. It's in Psalms. He commanded. Let's see here. Okay, I ain't going to find it that way. The world, they don't have this kind of knowledge. They teach a different kind of knowledge. Oh, you know what? I was in the wrong place anyway. Thank God for concordance. This Bible's too much for my little pea brain. Let's see. I do want to find this. It really goes good right here. S-T-O. Okay, here we go. Psalms 33, verse 9. Talking about in the beginning, how everything was created. And the world don't, like I said, they don't have this knowledge. They don't want this knowledge. In Psalms 33, I'm going to read all the way down. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument with ten strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And I'm going to go on down to verse 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. They can just go so far. And they don't want to admit it. They're contrary to God's counsel. And he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I'll stop right there. But God here talking about in the beginning, he said, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there was no death. Did you know God gave the sea a decree that the waves couldn't pass?
Yeah.
Look down at verse 29.
Right.
When he gave the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth. Mm-hmm. I tell you, buddy, there's a whole lot more to creation than man will ever give God credit for.
Right.
I'm sitting here breathing God's air. I'm sitting here held where I'm at by God's gravity. I've got, you know, I know we've got central heat and air in here, but even without it, it's not like I've got to have, like Eskimo, I ain't got to have a fur suit on. I've got, you know, comfort where I live.
Yeah.
And, you know, other people, and they can't hardly, I guess they walk around half naked because it's so hot. Like in Africa, they just wear just very little and stuff like that. But the temperature is controlled by God. The rain is controlled by God.
Right.
Everything God commanded, he said it, he blessed it. And he said, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now we just covered a lot of things about creation right there, but I want you to know this thing didn't just big bang come to be. There's a whole lot of God involved in things that man take for granted. Man can't understand it. It's past finding out. God declares it. Man puts his... I gave Brother Ed a CD, and in that CD, we listened to him on the way up there to Arise last Sunday. He was in this Indian reservation preaching. These Indians, there was one back in the back, and she put her hands over her ears. She didn't want to hear it. And he said, I'll just pound it in her. And she got up and run out, and it wasn't too long. Her husband got up and run out. And then after everybody left, they run back in and said, we was afraid to leave. Brother Dallas, I was praying for you this morning. Good to see you, brother. When they come back, they said, we was afraid we'd end up in hell. They said, can you help us get saved? And I'm glad that God's words like that, it can help us get saved. We're begotten by the Word. We're brought to the knowledge of salvation through the Word. Paul thought he was okay till he run head on into Jesus. And I tell you what, after he run into Jesus, he thought everything that he learned to wait for Christ. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got much to do with Jesus. We got much to do with the Word of God. And we need the wisdom of God to be able to understand the Word of God. And the wisdom, talking about here, this wisdom, verse 11, I think is where we started there. No, verse 12. We started verse 12. Verse 11 where we ended it. But wisdom is to be desired. And verse 11 mentioned about being better than rubies. And your wisdom, fools, they hate wisdom. I believe that's Proverbs chapter 1. And, you know, I don't want to hear that. You know, they don't have time for it. And Proverbs chapter 1 talks about wisdom crieth without, uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And you know, the world just don't want nothing to do with wisdom. I don't know if you've noticed here lately, but the world's consumed with this right here.
Yeah.
Everybody I see has got a little square thing. Yesterday, I was taking a granddaughter in town. She's over taking selfies. I said, what are you doing? She said, oh, me and Cameron, we send each other selfies. I'm sitting there thinking, man, how disconnected this world is. Time, you know, when we need to be paying attention, we're distracted. And I do believe that it's of the devil, all of this distraction, these devices that seem like they take us away from things that are needful. Seem like they prevent us, you know, from spending time where we need to spend it at. And God here, elaborating on wisdom. And he said, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Verse 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Did you get that?
Yeah.
There's some places just ain't inhabitable.
That's right.
Now I know that we've conquered a lot of things, and they've got places built now that where it was inhabitable or wasn't habitable. Now they're living there, and a man's determined, to go where nobody's ever been and do what nobody's ever done and all that right there, but rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. You know that contentment that I mentioned a while ago? It'd be good if we just learned to be content, but
yeah,
we're not. So we got people, they climb mountains and they fall down, and I guess some of them, if they live, they say, why God let me fall? And you know, they charge God foolishly. And then we got people, you know, they drive too fast, have a wreck. Why God let me have a wreck? They drink too much and it has an adverse effect. Why did God allow this to happen to me? But rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Boy, rejoicing ought to come natural to us.
Brother Wade, don't you think we all question that sometimes?
Yeah.
Why?
I know we do. Even Jesus, Rick said, he is so glad that Jesus on the cross said, my God, why? Now Jesus was identifying with Psalms chapter 22, verse 1, the prophetic statement of the Messiah, which is word for word what he said. But Ricky said, he's glad that Jesus said, why? Because he said, I don't know how many times I've said why. And, you know, he said, it doesn't condone me saying why, but it lets me know it's okay to say why.
Yeah.
But he said, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. You know, God, he blesses us, and it's his delight to bless us and to help us. He is a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1 says, he's our refuge and strength. Verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. You know, God wants everybody to be blessed.
Yeah.
He tells us right here, you can be blessed. You can be blessed. He said, blessed are they that keep my ways. He says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. And like I said, we're more prone to put our fingers in our ears. We're more prone to turn our back to God. We're more prone to walk away while God's speaking to us. But God here, he says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. You know, it's about 13. I seen a mother yesterday with two children. My wife told me to stop and get her some taters and carrots. She made a roast yesterday. Boy, so glad I married her. I love to eat, and she can sure cook. But anyway, when I was there, I seen a mother had a young boy and a young girl. And I went by there, and I always joke with them, Dallas. I said, would you take 50 cents a piece for them? She said, no, they're not worth that much. I said, ain't it something? Walmart don't carry them no more. It's kind of hard to find them. But, you know, children, they're just innocent, and they need to be taught. And we're the ones that needs to teach them. Let's not leave it up to this world to teach these children coming up the things that they're going to need in this life. The Bible tells us to bring up children in the love and admonition of the Lord. But you know what? That little calm that you have before they turn 13. They say by the age of 4 years old, a child's done learned everything he's going to learn pretty much. But that age of 13, Brother Jerry, that's when they put them hands on them hills. I don't need them. I don't need no help. I can do it myself.
Yeah.
That age of 13, it kind of coincides with the Bible. The Bible said they rebelled in the 13th year. And that 13th year kind of speaks about rebellion. And rebellions, it's in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, the Bible said, to drive it far from him. I'm glad my parents knew that verse. They didn't know nothing else because they did beat the devil out of me. And I have to admit, but I raised my hand. I guess I was on up about 17, 18 years old, if it was okay. I tell you right now, but they flogged you good. They did believe in that right there. But God says, hear instruction and be wise. You know, a lot of people, they turn down instruction. I read part of Proverbs chapter 1, and I do want to read a little more here. God says, because I've called and ye refused.
Yeah.
I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He said, verse 25, but ye have set it not on my counsel and would none of my reproof. You know, God offers instruction. God offers, look down verse 29, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. But they reaped what they sowed. They didn't hearken to instruction. They didn't hear instruction. They weren't wise. They refused to believe that God was who He was. You know, I don't think it's going to be long. God's going to come for His church.
Yeah.
And I'm 65 years old. Some of y'all that's old. Some of it's young. But I've seen a big change in this world. I see the change at work. I remember at work one time about 20 years ago, I believe it was about 20 years ago, they said, get used to the word change. And we didn't really understand what this talk about, but you know, looking back, boy, how things changed. And I see change taking place in the workplace. I see change taking place in the home place. I see change taking place in the church.
Yeah.
I see people leaving the things of God. And I see them, you know, teaching and preaching the things of the world instead of the things of God. And it's sad commentary. It really is. There's no substitute for God. Let's see. Let me see if I can find this scripture here real quick. If I can, it'll help right here. I think it's Isaiah 45. I can quote it. No, that's not it. But it says, who will you compare me to? And a lot of people, they are. Let me see here. To whom will you compare me to? There's none like him. I'm right here at it. There's just no one else that you can compare God to. Here you go. Isaiah 46, the one I couldn't find it. It wasn't in 45. Isaiah 46, verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? See, there's none like him. There's none that spake like him. They said, never man spake like this man. What manner of man is this? He walked on the water. Man, he commanded demons to come out. They came out. And you know, God's just, he's just in a category all his own. But they refused to receive God. They refused to hear instruction. They refused to be wise concerning the God. And we'll stop here at verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me. I'm glad I heard him one day.
Yes.
Well, everything he had to say was good. I should have already listened. I should have already been to where I ended up at the age of 34 years old. But I am glad that God waited on me. But blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. You know, we're waiting for something. You may not realize it, but you are. We're waiting for him to come back. And the Bible says the day of the Lord will come.
Yeah.
And we'll stop right there. Praise God, we got people coming in. Morning, Tavian.